Renounce your past, penetrating and perfect truth. The seven met with, even in 100,000 myriad prophets. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. There used to be a show on television may still exist as far as I know. I just don't know whether it does or not. But you can still catch many of its little segments on YouTube. The show is called How It's Made. And it's a really interesting show, literally, about how things are made, all kinds of things. And if you take, just something like, say, potatoes, it shows how people grow potatoes and how the potatoes are processed. And, before you go to the store to buy potatoes, you don't buy potatoes dirty like they came out of the ground. You buy them nice and washed up. And the show will show you the process in which they're harvested and then cleaned. I'm just taking potatoes as an example. There's many, many other examples you'd use from this show. But the dirt clods and rocks and things have to be separated out from the potatoes, and then they have to be washed. And when they're being washed, they have to be brushed in some way, scrubbed up in some way, to get the stains of dirt, remaining dirt off of them. Then they've got to be dried and packed. Well, I've been talking about offering up and about the second column. And the second column is like that, like the potato cleaning that I've just described. The cleaning process can sometimes be very gentle. Sometimes it's just very, very difficult. And it can be difficult for protracted periods of time, and then not be particularly difficult for protracted periods of time. The kind of rough and tumble sifting out of dirt and rocks, and then washing of the potatoes, and then the kind of vigorous brushing of them that I've just described, and maybe a further rinse of them. However it's done, it's probably done different ways, but I'm just kind of describing a general process. This is a good metaphor for what happens when a person really starts to offer up into that second column. The Eternal always takes us at our word. I think it's not infrequently the case. The Eternal takes us much more literally and much more seriously than we take ourselves. This is because of our own self-doubt and our own vacillation. Sometimes we're more keen, sometimes less keen. Sometimes our spiritual vision is more clouded by greed, hate, and delusion. Sometimes it's less so. The Eternal doesn't have any of those problems. The Eternal's spiritual vision is always perfect. And the Eternal discerns the deepest wish of our hearts much better than we do. And when we make any kind of resolve or vow to be true to that deepest wish of our hearts, when we start to act on that, we get taken quite literally. And the results at times can be very difficult, can take us right out to our limit of what we can endure. This, of course, is why this way of training is not followed by more people. It's not that people lack the ability to do it, but the longing has to be very great indeed, and the willingness has to be very great indeed. And that's not that common. We have another thing that occurs to me as a nice metaphor from my recent experience. We have a tractor we bought used some 24 years ago now. It was already a bit long in the tooth. It was already about 20 years old when we bought it. But all the time we had that tractor, we never got around to doing a really good wash of it, if you can imagine that. I kept looking at it thinking, you know, one of these days I got to get around to doing a good pressure wash of this tractor. And we've got a good little pressure washer. We've had it for years. But I kept putting it off. You know, it leaves a bit of a mess and then you got to clean up. But finally, we recently had a problem with a leaky fuel pump and we've had to have that replaced. The guy's been working on it for us off and on for a while now when he gets a chance. And really, to make it possible for him to work on it in some kind of civilized manner, I pressure washed the tractor. Well, as I was pressure washing it, I got a really good lesson in how much grease and grime can accumulate over a long period of time. Oil and dirt and oil and dirt and oil and dirt came off into the driveway, and I then spent a good deal of time trying to clean up as much as I could of the grime and crud. But when I was done, the tractor looked great. It looked like it had a whole new lease on life. Well, think of that as a metaphor for the spiritual process. There are some areas on that tractor I had to go over again and again and again with the pressure washer. Could I get one layer off? Oh, it wouldn't look so bad. Then I'd go around the tractor and get more off. Then I'd come back to that first area. Well, now it didn't look so good because it compared with the rest of the tractor, the present level of grease and dirt got revealed. So then I'd do another wash and go around the tractor again and come back and, oh, now it still doesn't look so good. And that's just what happens to us spiritually. We repeatedly get pressure washed and layers of karma get washed away. But just like that tractor sitting there accumulating literally for decades, all this crud, we've been accumulating for lifetimes, not decades, but lifetimes, all this crud. And eventually, someone's got to undertake the sometimes not so pleasant job of getting that pressure washed. However difficult the process may be, I've often said that all the heavy lifting is done by the Eternal, and that is true. It's like me using that pressure washer. I didn't create the pressure washer. I turned it on and pointed it in the right direction, and then it did its job beautifully. I had to be willing to turn it on and point it in its right direction and keep going around the tractor. And the tractor had to be willing, so to speak, to stand there and endure all this. This is a good metaphor for what River Master called the karmic washing that happens in that second column, that happens as a result of every true offering up of the darker side of our karmic inheritance. Again, whether it be from the more distant past, as in past lives, or whether it be from this lifetime, it doesn't matter. It's the same process. And the same difficulties are encountered. Another thing that River Master pointed out that I found true in my own experience time and again is it's not often the more dramatic, big scale breakages of the precepts that are the most difficult to wash away. Often it's some seemingly small breakage of a precept, but one in which one was very aware that one was doing wrong and one chose to do it anyway. That can be very different from, say, a crime of passion, so to speak. One was overwhelmed by anger or by lust. Well, those certainly aren't without their very severe consequences. But this kind of karmic stain that comes from coolly choosing to do something wrong when one knows it to be wrong. That's like the final stain I found on parts of our tractor. I was thinking particularly of the, has these big back wheels, big fat back wheels, as tractors do so often. And in the hubs of those wheels, these metal hubs, I'd find these stains of dirt and combination of dirt and oils from somewhere. Just murder to get off, to get down to the paint. They pretty well like the paint themselves. They've been on there so long. Pretty well like a layer of dirt paint. So this points out why it's so important that when we take the precepts to heart, we really understand what a serious thing we have undertaken. And that if we try to go back on it, we're going to really pay for it. Great Master Dogen put it very simply. He said, before conversion, the breakage of the precepts has evil form. After conversion, the breakage of the precepts has evil substance. It is definitely true that when we knowingly go against our heart, karmic consequence will one day roll in, and really sooner rather than later. The more we know, the more aware we are of perceptual truth, the sooner it tends to hit. A karmic consequence will roll in and give us a very good lesson in why that's not a good thing to do. Thus we can see the karmic consequence is always teaching us, and that there is a deeper compassion manifesting in all forms of karmic consequence. This brings us back to the offering up. Do not fight karmic consequence. Do not get in a war with karmic consequence. Bow to it, accept it, and offer it up. If we offer it up and don't fight against it, the Eternal helps us bear it, and it eventually will burn itself out. But we cannot avoid karmic consequence. And the willingness to keep positively accepting karmic consequence, even when so often we don't understand the origin of these spiritual, sometimes physical, pains that we're going through. The willingness to embrace it, accept it, offer it up, is essential to our training. Only good will come of it. One of the scriptures that we recite most frequently is the Litany of the Great Compassionate One. It takes you on a whole little journey through the spiritual life every time you recite it. And listen to these words early on in the scripture. All is defilement, defilement, earth, earth. Do the work within my heart. O great victor, I hold on, hold on. This is expressing the heart's cry of someone in the midst of this karmic pressure washing who is looking up. He's not pretending it's not difficult. We're not required to pretend or to lie to ourselves or to other people. But also not despairing. O great victor, I hold on, hold on. You know, do the work within my heart. This is offering up. This is offering up.
Homage to all the bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.